All right. So my wife and I have this couple that have adopted us. They attend the fort, Chinese couple, Tony and Pilar. Maybe some of you know Tony and Pilar. Yeah. Yeah, so for whatever reason, they've just adopted us. They're like our adopted parents. So every time they see us at church, they've got to take us out to a real expensive restaurant and make us eat more food than is healthy to do. And so Pilar came. It's all right. I cut your time, so that's why. And anyway, according to my watch, you got 10 seconds. So Pilar took my wife last week to the spa. There's a health club spa in Surrenderer where we stay, and bought her 20 hours of massages. So I knew this is my second day, 12 hours on my feet speaking. So I got a 6:30 appointment for a foot massage. It's the hope that I see that will enable me to endure this session. Somebody's going to be rubbing my feet. Yeah! All right, number 7. Yeah, I can feel it already. My tootsies were so sore, I had to wear my tennis shoes today. Faith, number 7, is seeing the unseen. Now, secular people who don't understand Bible faith, they say this all the time. Do they say this here? Well, seeing is believing. Well, that's stupid. Why would you need to believe then? You see it. That doesn't make any sense. Seeing is believing. Of course, Bible faith is believing is seeing. But there is a sense where that's true, that seeing is believing, because faith is seeing the unseen, seeing something that's not seen with the eyes of faith. Faith sees something that the natural eyes cannot see. We have some examples of it here. Hebrews, by faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered. How? He saw him who's invisible. Paul says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. It's passing away. But what is unseen is eternal. And Augustine said, faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of this faith is to see what you believe. Now, years ago, I had a college student living with us. And he was going to graduate from the university. And as soon as he did, we were starting a new church in another city, in another university campus, University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. And he was going as a campus minister. Now, he didn't have a car, and you can't do campus ministry in the States without a car. You just can't do it. Unless if you lived in New York City, you could probably make it, or Boston, because there's public transportation. But other than that, anywhere else, if you don't have a car, you can't be a campus minister. You just wouldn't be able to do it. So he doesn't have a car, but God's called him to be a campus minister. So he knows what the will of God is. He needs a car because God's called him to be a campus minister, and campus ministers need a Bible and a car. That's necessary equipment. So he doesn't have a car. He reads this book by Dr. Cho called The Fourth Dimension. I don't know if you've seen it. It's his testimony, sort of, his story. And Dr. Cho tells a story. He is a Buddhist boy, and he's dying, tuberculosis. And a Christian girl comes and talks to him about Jesus, ministers to him, prays for him. He gets healed and saved, and he starts in the ministry. And he's working in the ghettos of Seoul, in the streets, ministering to kids. And he prays one time, and he records his prayer. He has three things he needed. He asked the Lord for a bicycle, because he's walking every day, and he's getting worn out. He asked the Lord for a bed, because he was just sleeping on a straw mat. And he asked the Lord for a desk to prepare his sermons and do his study. So he waited. 6 months goes by, and he doesn't have anything. And he got real upset with the Lord and started to talk to him. So now, Lord, I asked for a bike, and he's especially anxious to get the bike because his feet are getting really sore and he's getting real tired. He says, I asked for a bike 6 months ago, and there's no bike. And I want to know what's going on. Where is my bike? Why don't I have a bike yet? And he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, Cho, I don't know what kind of bike you want. And Dr. Cho got the idea, the revelation, that faith is seeing very specifically the unseen reality that you want. And so he realized, okay, I'm going to have to get real specific. And so he got specific. I want this kind of bike. And got very specific about it. And he got his bike. So my friend, his name is David, he's needing a car. He reads that story. And of course, the obvious application is, yeah, he's got to figure it out. So he decides, he's thinking about it. And he decides he wants to get a Volkswagen Rabbit. Diesel. Now, this is 1981. Gasoline has hit the incredible price of $1.12 a gallon, which was astonishingly high. And the Volkswagen Rabbit diesel got 65 miles to the gallon, which is astonishing. So he decides he wants a Volkswagen diesel Rabbit, and he wants powder blue. And as long as he's asking, he wants a special German stereo. It's called Blaupunkt. I don't know if you've ever heard the name, but it's high end. At least it was then. I think it still is to this day. So he goes through some magazines and he finds a powder blue Volkswagen Rabbit diesel. He cuts it out. He's living in my house, so I see it. It's on his wall every day, and he's drawn a little picture of a little Blaupunkt stereo cassette player in there too. And every day, he's thanking God for his Volkswagen Rabbit diesel, powder blue with a Blaupunkt stereo. Well, a month or two goes by, and I get a call from a friend of mine who pastors a church that was in our movement at that time. And he said, there's a guy in our church, I knew the guy, he said, he's got this car, and the Lord told him he was supposed to give it to a campus minister, and he heard that David was believing for a car and wondered if this is the person he was supposed to give it to. And I said, well, it depends. What kind of car is it? And he said, it's a Volkswagen, a Rabbit. I said, okay. Is it a diesel? He had to think about it for a moment. You know, diesel, they make a different sound. You know, when they're running and they're idling. And he thought about it. Yeah, it is a diesel. I said, great. What color is it? He says, kind of a light blue. I said, could you call that powder blue? He said, yeah, you probably could. And then the pastor said, and he just spent $1,000. Now, this is 1981. $1,000, that was a month's salary for me. He just spent $1,000, and he put this new state-of-the-art stereo in. It's, I don't know, some German name. I said, is it Blaupunkt? He said, yeah, how'd you know? He said, that's our car, we'll take it. And David got his powder blue Volkswagen rabbit diesel with the Blaupunkt stereo, and he drove that thing out to the University of Arkansas to win college students to the Lord. Now, the application of this is not you getting your Rolls Royce or, okay, wow, well, I want... The application is faith sees the unseen. And faith is fueled by developing this inner picture of God's promises being fulfilled. Oswald Chambers says, faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. Faith, number eight, is giving a good report. A good report. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw are of great size." Now that's a bad report because they had a wrong filter. They went by what their eyes saw, not by what the Word of God had promised. A good report, our subpoint, is a faith filled declaration of God's perspective of reality. It's God's perspective of reality. There's a famous American war hero by the name of Lieutenant General Chesty Puller. He's a Marine, the most decorated Marine in U.S. military history. Over 52 medals. Amazing guy. And he had a motto in life and in warfare is he never dug trenches. He kept attacking, full speed ahead, no stop, keep going, keep going, keep going. Now, sometime that got him into trouble. The one time during the Korean War, the enemy set up this scheme knowing his tendency. And so Puller's army and the enemy opposed each other and gave battle. And at a given time, according to a given signal, the enemy began to give way. And so Chesty only knows one direction. It's straight ahead, Mach 5 with your hair on fire. So he's attacking, attacking, attacking. But you see, the flanks of the army, they don't yield. And so as he progresses in, see, we'll show a little diagram here. You got the two fronts that are meeting each other, boom and boom. This part right here, they begin to fall back. His army attacks, but the flanks, the sides, you see, they hold their position. Chesty keeps pushing, keeps pushing. Eventually, he's completely surrounded by the enemy. He sent back a communique to headquarters, and it went something like this. The enemy is in front of us. The enemy is behind us. They're on our right. They're on our left. They won't escape us this time. And he won the battle that day. You see, that's a good report. A secular version of a good report, okay? It's a faith-filled declaration of God's perspective of reality as filtered through His Word and His promises, not your own views. Finally, our last thought here. Faith is a decision that never wavers. a decision that never wavers. James said, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, we might not like this, but that's a promise from God. God promises you. If you waver, you won't get anything. It's a promise. It's not one of those promises we like to claim, but it's a promise. It's not one of those promises we go to a Christian bookstore and someone has calligraphied this promise on a beautiful backdrop of an idyllic meadow setting, right? I mean, we don't see that. We get, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, maybe. But this is just as true a promise. Could you imagine a beautiful poster? Got a beautiful meadow and a mountain and a stream, and then calligraphied across it. If you waver, you're not getting anything from me, says the Lord. It's a Bible promise, though. It is a Bible promise. There are many promises in God's Word. This is not the one you want to claim, but it is true. Albert Barnes, in his commentary on this passage, said, the wave of the sea has no stability. It's at the mercy of every wind and seems to be driven and tossed every way. So he that comes to God with unsettled convictions is liable to be driven about by every new feeling that may spring up in his mind. At one moment, hope and faith impel him to come to God. Then the mind is at once filled with uncertainty and doubt. And the soul is agitated and restless as the ocean. Faith is a quality decision that never wavers. I remember one time I was at the gym in St. Louis when we were living there that I used to work out at. And I noticed that the gym was especially crowded. It was January. And two of the trainers, I overheard them. They were talking. One guy was new, hadn't been there very long. Other guy had been there for years. And the one trainer said, man, the gym's been so crowded. Well, it's right after Christmas. New Year's resolutions. Everybody's in the gym, right? The guy had been there for a while. He said, wait a month. They'll all be gone. And they were. Because there's a difference between a New Year's resolution and a quality decision. A quality decision is a decision you don't go back on. Luke tells us, chapter 9, verse 51, an interesting thing about Jesus. He was on his way to Jerusalem, and Luke says, he set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem. Now, that's a Hebrew metaphor. It means he made a quality decision that nothing would deter him from his path. He is going to accomplish his mission, and nothing can deter him. Now, the Spirit of God lives in the inside of us. And that same Spirit dwells us. So because of that, we can make quality decisions. I will, from this day forward, stand on God's Word. I will not waver by faith in God's promise. By the grace of God and His power that indwells me, I'm standing firm on His Word, and I will not be this double-minded man who wavers and tossed and who receives nothing from the Lord. Let's take a few minutes here. We got a little extra time. And look at our discussion questions. I want to examine number 2. I think that would be a good one to take up in our groups. Can we take a few minutes and talk to one another about this one? God uses situations to reveal to us what we thought was faith was only mental assent. What situations have you been in the last year that showed you how much mental ascent you had? What did God teach you through those situations? How can you ensure now if a similar situation occurs, you'll respond in true Bible faith and not mere mental ascent? So can you go back to those groups that we start in? Take a few minutes and talk to one another. Discuss this.
Test.
Ian, grab a mic.
I knew there was one close to you.
So what situations has God used to reveal to you mental ascent?
Maybe for the things that we're believing. I mean, me and my wife for this year. For example, having our own car or transportation. A means of transportation, I mean. Yeah. It just became a mental ascent for us because early this year, when we were writing our faith goals for this year, praying and fasting for it, we're really somewhat aggressive, but as we became busier and also different concerns arises, and then we just become passive. And just like what King said, it leads to unbelief sometimes.
So what did God teach you through the situation, and you want me to use?
Defective.
What God teaches that situation, how can you make sure it doesn't happen again?
I believe really solely believing in what God has promised and really taking hold of it, despite of the things that, of course, we cannot see or what is unseen, or just maybe what the circumstances or the situations are somewhat affecting our faith. And then just focusing on the characters of God, how faithful He is, that everything that meditating on what He had done in the past, I believe that would really help me more on strengthening my faith.
Great.
Or our faith.
Great. Yeah. Jay, how about you?
For me, it's more related in the ministry side.
In the what?
Ministry side.
Yeah.
Because last year, you know, our goal was to multiply our service because our attendance back then was, we're having that average in a month like 600 or 500. And we thought that it's going up. So by next year, so we'll have around 1,000 or 2,000. So, and back then, you know, that's our faith to have to multiply our service. But in our part, we're not doing some, you know, engaging activities in the campuses. So it's hard for us to invite students, and because in reality, for you to have a multiple service, you need to have a high attendance.
Really? Is that the prerequisite?
Amazing. Yeah. So now we try to adjust and try to. Believe that, you know, we will have an attendance of 1,000, and now what we're doing, that's our faith. Our, you know, we're trying to show our faith through our actions. You know, we do some engaging events left and right, and we can see the results now. There are new students, new faces, and for us, we're convinced that it's possible for us to have a multiple services next year.
Yeah, great. Dan, what you working on there?
Thinking.
On what? Okay. Couldn't figure out what was happening. Got me curious. What about, who wants to talk at this table? Julius does.
I was sharing to them. I was sharing to this group and then telling them if it's mental ascent and related on campus ministry. I was reaching later this year, like June. I was thinking of things, strategies on how to make our discipleship and how to reach more students in university and in University of Manila. But in doing that, somehow I had an appointment with one of the head in that campus and attending Victory QC. And then he just offered and just let us in with that campus. And it's like simply like just God showing me that, can you not see it? I'm doing things, and you're just there. Keep on thinking, keep on doing these things. So it's like that. It's like God just want to slap in my face and, can you see I'm doing this? Yeah, it's like that. So you have strategy, but can you see I can open this campus for you to go and. So right now we can go to the campus and do this Victory group inside the campus.
Any questions that I've raised today that you need to have answered before we go? Burning questions. It's all clear? Totally clear? Percy?
It's a bit funny, but you mentioned this morning, it stuck on my mind, when you talk about doing everything by faith, you know, toothbrush by faith, you know, brushing your teeth, eating by faith. And I actually had an instance where a student asked me, what does it mean to do everything by faith? When you give that examples, those examples like brushing your teeth by faith, what do you mean by that? You pray while you're brushing your teeth? I don't know how to answer really. So can you help me on that?
Brush your teeth on your knees. Did you? Hard to speak in tongues while you're brushing your teeth. I have to brush my teeth by faith here because the water, if it gets in me, it causes problems. By faith, I'm brushing my teeth. It just means that you're conscious of everything in life, that you're doing it by God's power. It's His grace. It's His word. It's His provision that's working through you. And in each situation, you're just not wandering through life, just showing up at a meeting, showing up, doing the things, going through the routine, but consciously aware of God's promises for your life. And when I say brush your teeth by faith, you understand it's somewhat of a hyperbole, right? Meant to illustrate a point. That there's so many things we just do, but God has promises for every aspect of life, everything in life, and are we seizing and apprehending those promises for everything that we do? So, Joseph?
Just to comment on that, I had a similar question before about pray continually. I asked Pastor Manny, and then like living in the Spirit all the time, and same thing, like, I brush my teeth, I put my clothes on, I take a bath. How do I do that? By the Spirit. And he said the same thing that you're saying. The awareness that God, you need God in everything you're about to do. And I thought that was pretty cheap at first. I thought, it's just awareness. And then, but the next meeting I had, I forgot what it was. I had to confront someone at work. I forget who. But I prayed. I said, Lord, help me. That this is what I'm about to walk into. And give us the grace to resolve it well. And I was amazed. I came out after, I said, wow, that was better than I thought it would happen. And God said, because you asked me to. I was like, oh, that's what it is. So
what a revelation.
Yeah. So like for everything now, if I know I'm about to come home and I know Carla's a bit mad at me, Lord, I pray that you'll help us resolve it.
That's a regular occurrence.
Yeah. And Yeah, and you know, it helps. You know, Lord, I'm a bit irritated right now. I don't want to walk in there and dump it on my wife. Help me to be there too.
Great.
For us, I get in, and it just changes things. It's that awareness, like you said.
Yeah, great. Paul, last thought.
No, it's a question.
Last question then. I'm easy. Go ahead.
Yes, I just need reinforcement on this one. You said knowledge is believing with intellect, and faith is believing with the heart.
Yeah.
What do you mean by heart here? I mean,
the heart is, it's a center. It's a metaphor for the center of the life. So when you talk about believing with the heart, obviously you have a mind, and that's where you really believe. You know, your heart organ, the heart, can't actually believe. But it means that your faith is not a superficial, merely intellectual, but that your whole life is leaning on the truth of it. As opposed to just acknowledging the reality of whatever God's word, but that your whole being is committed to it, sold out, your life is thrown on it, and every part of your being is in agreement. This is true. Is that okay? And even semi-profound. Thank you. All right, I'm finished, literally finished and done. So, do we meet next week? No, not next week. Was this it? For the year? Well, let's have a prayer then. Really, this is it, huh?
Yep.
I want to miss you guys. That's a long time. Of course I'll be here next year. But we won't get to talk about the Cardinals anymore. You want to just meet just for fun? That'd be fun. All right, Lord, thank you for this class. Lord, thank you for the call that's upon every single one of them. And Lord, I pray blessing, grace, abundance be upon every one of them. Lord, thank you that the spirit of faith is coming to rest upon them. Lord, thank you as they seek you, as they study and meditate on your word, that faith will come. Lord, that as they plant a stake in the ground and say, I will not waver on your promise, that Lord, that you will back them with great power and anointing. Lord, let them tap into and experience the exceeding greatness of your power that's available to those who believe. Lord, in the name of Jesus, may your mighty power and hand be upon them. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.